Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. Well, welcome back to the program. Thanks for tuning in. You know, when I started this program, Setting the Record Straight, I thought, and you know, if you go back and listen to some of my archived broadcasts, that I would be talking strictly about my situation. Let me tell you, I have enough legal on my own to talk about this, to talk about on this show, Setting the Record Straight. But, you know, as I look at and review some of the news, and I did say, well, you know what? I did. I warned you. I did say I would be talking about news and events. So, oh, okay, I did put it out there at the outset of this program, Setting the Record Straight. You know, I said, and it's true, it is very true, that I'm going to have a book that is going to be coming out soon. It's called Legally Speaking. And, you know, I was like, wow, should I change this program title to Legally Speaking? Well, not right now. You know, I'm talking about legal events. Well, I'm talking about news events that have legal significance. And when I look at, like, you know, the news, you know, say the CBS Evening News, my sister likes to look at the ABC Evening News, they don't give you, like, the behind-the-scenes account of what's going on legally with the case. I mean, they'll tell you the real big, highlighted yellow details, but the legal questions that may be lingering are sometimes not answered, and the average layperson may not be acquainted with how things work legally. And so sometimes in the news coverage, it leaves a big gaping hole. And I'm also here to address what I would say are, untruths or misleading commentaries in the media. Where I see them, and I have offered in this program to tell the good and bad. Now, you know, I get I used to tell my students, or, you know, look, I'm going to give you the good news about something, and then you can throw tomatoes at me, but I'm going to tell you the bad part as well, because what I am upset about is the unbalanced reporting by the media. And I think we do need balanced reporting. We need someone who's going to tell the truth about the matter. And I don't know what governs mainline media coverage. Is it ratings or money, selling ads? I don't know what it is. But here on Setting the Record Straight, look, I have absolutely no sponsors at this time. I could probably get some. I have no one doing anything to sponsor or influence this broadcast whatsoever. I am influenced by this. I am influenced by an effort to tell the truth on this broadcast. There may be hidden facts that maybe you, the listener, may want to know, and that it will certainly help you understand what's going on in the news from day to day. But one thing I started off saying, and let me say it now, I thought I would I thought I would be talking about my own situation from day to day, and I'll probably bore you with those details every day. But as I look at these news events, I find that there is a significant legal significance to these stories, and I think the public likes to know and should know. And so I've taken the liberty of commenting on some of these other events, which I'm reading about it. And some of them are so interesting now that I've started to pay attention to them, actually sit down and explore some of the newspapers or news outlets or internet news outlets about some of these stories. And I find out how kind of quirky they are on the bottom. You know, you don't realize it. It's not really something that rises to the top when you hear about a new story. And there's so many. You know, I wrote them down, some of them that I heard during the day, and I took the liberty of reading the article on each of these matters. Now, let me tell you this. I'm still angry as all get out about my situation. And it is ongoing, and I continue to report, and I will continue to report about my situation. For instance, and then I'm going to go on to some of these other events. I read a story just 2 or 3 days ago. My friend Tom Barrow, who is a former mayoral candidate for the city of Detroit, as I am, reported that, and there's a news article, that they're still counting the votes from the last race for mayor of the city of Detroit. I can't believe it. And they're still fighting over the votes cast in that race, 2013, may have been 14. But when I ran for mayor of the city of Detroit in 2009, I had significant concerns about the race myself, which I raised as well, and which were never resolved. I had run as a candidate, a judicial candidate, for the City of Detroit 36th District Court, winning with a vote count of 139,000 votes. And just, 3 months later, I, because of my situation running in a dual race that I ran in, I was also on the ballot for mayor of the city of Detroit, found myself there, and did not really put a lot of effort into running for mayor of the city of Detroit. Well, one thing, I won my race for judge and had some kind of legal tying up that I had some problems running for mayor. However, if I had been aware of some things, I would have gone ahead and expended my resources and made a full-fledged run for mayor of the city of Detroit. But what happened in that race that I'm not happy about and still remains unresolved is that how can a candidate run for judge in the city of Detroit, winning with that large a number of votes, and that's pretty big. I believe that, well, that was a presidential election, so pretty fair big amount of votes. And then come in with a vote count of 199 for the mayor's race of the city of Detroit. I really, really was very grieved about those results. I was so upset because one does not mount and run a high-level campaign and not influence a lot of voters like that, especially when you have a high vote count of 140,000 votes, and then get 199 votes 3 months later in a mayoral race. I don't think so. And I have significant concern about the mayor's race and my votes in the mayor's race. And I really, and those questions, remained unresolved. Now, when I ran my race for Judicial Circuit Court, Wayne County, in 2012, I got again almost 140,000 write-in votes. You know, that's kind of like equivalent to 250,000 votes if my name was on a ballot. And so voters don't forget. And voters, the voters in Detroit are name recognition voters. That can be good if you're a good candidate. If you're not such a good candidate and they continue to vote in a bad candidate by name recognition only, of course that can be bad. That can be negative and have a negative impact on the city. But they are still counting those votes, and I'm so upset about it. And I have enough, things to overlook and to oversee and backtrack on. But that would be one of the things that we should look at in the city of Detroit and pay close attention to the race for the city of Detroit. There is for mayor. That race is coming up again in 2017. So let's just continue to watch that because it's a lot to watch. It's a lot of corruption, again, that we need to have some oversight over. And hopefully the right people will be overseeing that election. Well, this is another story that caught my attention today. The story of Derrick Rose. You know, during my 24 years of actually practicing, I'm saying getting in the trenches, fighting cases for defendants, I have represented defendants charged with rape. And I think I said this other day. And some of the most gray area rape cases are those where the defendant and the person complainant are dating each other. I mean, that is such a fine line. It's splitting hairs. It's so meticulous in terms of what is consent and what isn't consent. I was reading this story, and I'm going to tell you how this story immediately sent up red flags. First of all, it's a civil lawsuit. Derrick Rose is a player for the Chicago Bulls. And it is a civil lawsuit. Civil lawsuits are for monetary damages. I explained this in my book, Legally Speaking, the difference between a civil case and a criminal case. In this instance, a civil lawsuit has been filed. That is, she's not asking anybody to go to jail here. She wants to recover some money, and she's saying she was gang raped and drugged by Derrick Rose, or either directly through under his direction, via his direction. And the thing that stood out about this story is that there were no criminal charges filed against Derrick Rose. Now, this case is different from Bill Cosby's case, because this is a fairly recent case where the evidence is not stale. I see from her complaint that she dated Derrick Rose from the years of 2011 to 2013. That evidence is still, you're still able to document the evidence. That is, was there a rape kit? Was there DNA that was extracted? I mean, that is almost a case that could be proven instantly today because the evidence is so good. There are rape kits now. There are DNA extractions that can help prove some of this. And if for certain that she has this evidence and is ready to present it in a civil case, I'm wondering why a criminal case was not filed, because certainly that would also, that evidence, that sort of evidence would be sufficient to substantiate criminal charges. And so it may be that this civil claim, claim that she was gang raped and drugged, doesn't have as much credibility as it may sound like. Maybe a copycat lawsuit type of thing from the Bill Cosby situation. I'm wondering, sitting here as a practicing attorney and former judge, did she go to the hospital to make out a report? Did she recount who and when and where this gang rape took place? And that would certainly undergird credibility as a complainant. Not that you want to beat up on a women who make these claims. It's just a necessary evil of bringing such a claim. You have to delve into the details of the case just like you would in any other case, criminal or otherwise. I always, as a judge, handle the complainant with care, but forged ahead when it came to getting the details out of complainants. A lot of times, and I've had cases where I actually won rape cases and where my clients were acquitted, you have a female that's emotional. It may be because they're not telling the truth. It may be because they're hurt over maybe the man, you know, moving on with his life, being with another female. So the emotions should not overtake the actual facts in the case. And this is another story I'll probably continue to render some comment on here on Setting the Record Straight. Well, I tell you what, I never dreamed I would run out of time and not run out of things to say here on the program. Thank you for listening to the program. You may, if you want to listen to an archive broadcast of this episode, you may go to Setting the Record Straight 2015, blogtalkradio.com/rather, Setting the Record Straight 2015. All right, if you want to hear it, you may email me at bks1233@outlook.com. Should you have a question, a comment, a criticism, or whatever, please feel free to email me, and I will certainly respond. All right, that's all I have to say today. Have a blessed evening and talk to you next time.